I call the June 5th, 2018 Personnel and Policy Committee meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Right, 7:03. Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Underdunk?
Yes.
Chair Ludden?
Yes.
Also in attendance is Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
And Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Seeing no matters of public, I will hand the baton to Lisa to lead a discussion of personnel and board policies.
Excellent. So you will be seeing a lot more policies over the next couple months. We're in the home stretch of distinguished accreditation, and which means that we have to formalize some of the procedures that actually we've been doing for years, but were never written down. And per our distinguished accreditation standards, we have to have policy and board approval. So some of these, most of these policies, when you see them written up, are coming from best practices from park districts around the state who are already accredited, and we'll pass the muster. So I'm just going through them. And if you have any questions, if you see a policy and there's in red, that means we have updated the policy. If it's just totally black ink, that means it's a brand new policy. So the first one is administrative release. This one we just wanted to update from the past policy. We just wanted to put a calendar, like a time limit on when they can use administrative release time, and make it so that way if someone should leave and all of a sudden they have 400 hours of administrative release time, we're not paying that out. So it was kind of an important kind of bookkeeping one. So any questions? So for example, staff will get administrative relief. It's mostly salaried staff and some hourly staff that choose to do administrative release over overtime. You can request that. But mostly it's our managers. For example, our beach manager, Matt. He does work mm-hmm. almost every weekend. He probably works 60, 70 hours during the summer. And then we allow him during the off season after the beach house closes in October to take time off after that. Usually it's Fridays or a couple weeks in a row or whatever he chooses. Camp managers are the same way. They can't take off in the summer. They're working again 70, 80 hours sometimes, and so that we allow them to take off at different times and use that administrative release time. So
you said that, if I may.
Yes.
The only question I had about it was simply that I wondered whether it's necessary to make explicit that you have banked this much time that you then can use later, or I guess I'm just more familiar with people in salaried roles. That's just like the understanding that sometimes it's really tough.
Right.
Other times it's not so tough.
We just wanted to make sure that they were getting compensated for time off later on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hour for hour. By all means. So if they work 80 hours, they're not getting, 30 hours of administrative. We would just say, okay, you're going to get this many hours of it. So
okay.
It's not black and white. It's not hour for hour.
Wow.
We make that very clear.
Mm. So you're just making clear, I'm sorry, Steve, that the situation is not that you expect Matt to work 70 hours a week all summer and
no.
then 40 hours a week the rest of the year.
Exactly.
That's what you're trying
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. And that if you do have that administrative release time, you're not going to get compensated. You can't bank it for years and then get
right.
compensated
mm-hmm.
when you leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is.
Right.
That's an
really
important thing based on
yeah.
my experience of running all kinds of salaried people that had to put in all kinds of hours. It's very important to be crystal clear with them that their efforts are appreciated and part of the backbone of having a successful operation. But you don't want to cripple the operation by them coming to you and saying, I think you owe me 75 hours, and by the way, I won't be back in January when it comes time to settle that up.
Exactly.
There has to be a time where they know in advance that the clock is going to be reset.
Right.
And that as long as everybody understands, then the playing field is level.
Yep.
And that's fair enough. But I think from my experience, that's very typical.
Yeah. And that's what this does. And it says, if you resign or you're involuntarily resign, you don't get paid out for any of that. So, any other questions? All right. So we're just going to advance that for approval in June.
I'm good with that too.
Okay. Perfect.
I had to, one place where I worked did not have that, and they allowed for incredible amounts of accumulation, and one fellow actually retired 6 months early.
Oh, yeah. And you do see that sometimes, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's right. It didn't work for me, but I'm really glad.
The next one, commissioner privileges. This is just updating it. As you know, we had passed the reimbursement of travel, meal, and lodging policy for the board, and we never updated it in this section. So that's what this is doing.
Lisa, there's a typo, and that this period should be redacted there.
Oh, thank you. Good catch. All right, noted. Anybody have no problem with that one? Okay. And then the next one is the ethics and conduct ordinance. So this was the one we talked about at the last meeting. Josh gave some changes. We sent it back to our attorney. They gave some changes. And this is the final,
hybrid version.
So the highlighted areas in yellow are what changed in the old policy. It got really muddied with red ink, blue ink, so we just kind of put it together to make sure everybody could read and see exactly what they're agreeing to. So this is up for discussion now.
Well, let me say, as I guess chair of this committee, I want to acknowledge all the time that several people put into this whole discussion, and I certainly appreciate the efforts that were made to come to something that is satisfactory. This is satisfactory to me. I think this reflects everybody's desire to make absolutely clear what people's policies are, but does not unnecessarily or unconstitutionally restrict people's ability to do things, you know, in their non-park district time.
So if I'm understanding the first modification correctly, that would manifest itself simply by a board member recusing themselves from a vote on an area where they have some other outside interest in.
Correct.
And that would be adequate and sufficient. They can participate in discussions. We most of us know each other's current and past special interests, but as long as we recuse ourselves from the vote and recuse ourselves from trying to influence anyone outside of our meetings where intelligent discussion, open discussion is taking place.
Correct.
That's fair enough.
You're right. So if I came to a board meeting, I'm a board member, and I say, I'm representing GBA, that would be wrong. So if you come and say I'm a board member, we have discussion, and say, you know, I'm a board member, I'm going to recuse myself of GBA, I'm recusing myself from any vote. That's the proper way.
That's cool. Fair enough.
Does anybody else have any comments or concerns?
So probably the biggest thing is that you have to make an annual written declaration listing any organization so that it's clear and transparent. I thought that was yours. That was good. So that everybody knows what organization you're involved in Glencoe, because maybe we don't know. So all right.
As a practical matter, should we have each of us make that declaration before our next board meeting?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And then we just keep it in our file and just send it to me. I don't think it has to be done at a board meeting. You would just like write any organizations you're involved in and send it to me?
Even if it's completely impossible that it would ever have anything to do with
any Glencoe organization.
Okay, fine, good.
I don't think it has to be anything in Chicago, anything in Glencoe.
Or outside. Okay.
Don't you think?
Not to belabor the point, but in number two it says an organization that may reasonably be expected to interact with the district.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So
which is pretty much every Glencoe organization. Yeah. We have 36 partners.
So please accept my absence of any submission as evidence that I have no other outside interest right now.
That sounds great. All right. Any other questions?
Mm-mm.
So I'll move that for approval. Okay. The next one is it's a new one, comprehensive assessment policy. Just says we're going to do a needs assessment every 3 to 5 years, but at least a minimum every 10 years to do the population shift. So this is just one of those DA things. Okay, any questions?
How do we choose who does the, who powers the survey? Like, how do we?
The board just interviews at that time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Usually there's standards in Park and Rec.
Oh,
and actually, the one that everybody used just retired from doing it. So
we're
going to be Ron Vine.
Yeah.
So everybody's looking for a new one. So there's a couple good ones out there, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they help formulate the survey?
With very much input from the staff and the board.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them are standard questions. You see them all. Like, everybody wants to know, you know, what your top 10 things are.
Those are good.
And it's nice because then we can benchmark against each other throughout the state.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay, that one's good.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is a comprehensive year-round recreation programs policy. This just sets our standards for our programs. For example, we give presidents a preference to registration of residents, mm-hmm. Charge reasonable fees. We charge higher fees for non-residents. Kind of everything we've already done put in writing. Mm-hmm. Extra fees for failure to pick up kids on time.
Mm-hmm.
Reduced fees for employees and families. That's the rest of other place we just thought we put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Provide refunds for persons canceling. Financial assistance, code of conduct, and that's a very important one. The, people are very all over that one. So,
is the financial assistance thing available to non-residents?
No, only residents. That's a good question.
That might be a reasonable clarification. Financial assistance,
okay, provide to residents.
Uh-huh.
I like that. That's great. Good catch. And if you don't know, I just tell you that our procedure is that we at the Park District does not decide who gets financial assistance. We actually send that. We have agreement with Glencoe Youth Services, Family Services.
Yeah.
They look at all the applications and then they approve off.
Right.
So it's really nice because it kind of keeps us out of it, so we don't know people's financial information, so it doesn't fall into programs at all. So
and you're not experts in that anyway.
I've been on the bad side of having to do those. That's why I did Gurney for. I always had to approve them, not approve them, and it's so hard because you can't. It's really hard.
You just want to prove everybody.
You do.
Yeah,
and people call you with these awful.
No.
So I'm glad that they do it, that we can stay out of that. And so they don't provide us any money to do it. We provide all the money. We have a budgeted amount that we spend every year. I think it's $20,000. And that seems to be been adequate over the years. I don't think we have to raise that at all. But
Are there any people who have assistance for preschool here? And
yes.
That would go through...
Yes.
That goes through GYS as well?
Family Services,
Services.
Yes,
okay.
They do all of our financial, yeah.
Okay.
And we have, you wouldn't believe, across the board.
Okay. Really?
Some people buy big houses and can't really afford them, so it's interesting. Or they lose their job, and you know, just trying to stay afloat, so we're happy to help in those instances.
Hmm.
So, any questions on that one? All right. Continuing education opportunities policy, and I know we've talked about this to make sure that we do provide continuing education for our staff, and we do strongly believe in that. So this is our policy of what we do for conferences, for tuition reimbursements, for internal classes that we do. This just kind of sets the policy for that.
So I have a question about the tuition reimbursement outside of the conferences and professional development. As stated, it seems, you know, just from my own experience, to be rather broad. There's no recourse if the person takes the tuition reimbursement and then immediately leaves. There's no clawback provision. There's no cap. You know, like one class a semester kind of thing. There's no, contract. Mm-hmm. You have to work for 2 years afterwards, or you have to pay back the tuition or part of the tuition. I'm sure there's probably a standard that we might be able to refer to for this. What do you think?
Well, because we have had people ask before, and we do usually cap it at one class, to be honest with you, but it kind of depends. We don't want to lock ourselves in a policy, so I think that's why it's approval of the director. But for example, if someone's going to the community college that was it Oakton right here, or CLC, well, those classes cost us $300-$500.
Right.
So we would have no problem if someone wanted to take two or three of those, especially if it's dictated for say, to get licensing for DCFS or something. I'm thinking full-time Children's Circle staff. That's something they might come and say, I would like to have $1,500 to continue that education.
Right.
Now, that may be four classes.
Yeah.
And maybe two a semester, and that's no problem.
Right.
Someone might come and say, I want to go to DePaul.
Yeah.
And I might say, okay, you get, one class a semester to get a master's,
yeah.
and one class a semester,
uh-huh.
and then you have to have the passing grade and everything.
Yeah.
And then we would go to the attorney and ask for a clause. The attorneys do say it's really hard to enforce that, to get that money back, because all of a sudden they leave and you have to go back.
Calling back money is always hard.
Because they're right next to Bobby. So we could add that in for the director to consult our attorney for, language if we want to put that kind of wording in.
So it's very discretionary. You look at a specific situation. And
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. And, and you've not run in. You don't think this is a problem? Like,
no.
From your first experiences, this is not a problem.
This has not been a problem. No.
Okay. I'd like to comment on that. I worked with the planning organization here in the Chicago area, and they did not have strict rules that way.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to get the organization to pay for his MBA at the University of Chicago.
That's a really good deal.
And you could imagine the cost. It's about $65,000 a year.
Okay.
That's not happening here.
No.
It has to be job related.
Yeah.
There be a cap of some kind?
I would support that as well.
I had a cap. Like at my company, they paid for my master's over 5 years, but it was $5,000 a year cap. So I agree. A cap won't be a bad.
To receive, employee must be apply and be approved before the courses begins. So they have
so
to.
That was my next question.
Right.
So it's on a case by case basis for senior staff to decide that it isn't appropriate
right.
for their job and or potential growth here
right.
to pursue that education.
Right.
And the value we're getting, meaning the cost of tuition or whatever, is within our
right.
normal experience.
So what we usually do is we would approve that in the budgetary cycle. So what they have to do is if they're planning to go for continuing education, tuition reimbursement, they would submit a letter to me. I would approve that and put it in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't get it into the budget, they're not going to get that reimbursed. Okay, so the board has, and I have ability to cut that from the budget if want. So if they come back and say, I want $65,000 this year, we can say that's not approved. Obviously, that's over my spending limit.
Right.
So
that would come to the board as part, mm-hmm.
usually,
of the yearly budget review.
Yes. So what I usually do is I and since I've been here, no one has taken me up on it yet,
mm-hmm.
but we have had inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
So I say it has to be a state school, not a private, one class a semester, and
it's a passing grade.
I mean,
private.
Did I say private?
No.
You said state.
Oh, state.
Yeah.
Public school within the state.
Yeah.
So you can't go Wisconsin, because it has
right.
to be.
Right.
Would the University of Chicago or Northwestern qualify because they're a private institution?
They're,
no. None of them would.
Okay.
Right. So it'd have to be public. Now, if they want it.
So you're going to have less problem running
state.
Into the $70,000.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, like we're talking, they want to go to Northern or they want to go. Now, if they choose to say, I want to go to DePaul, then they could pay the difference. We're only going to pay what I would go back and say, okay, let's see how much Northern's paying for their MBA,
mm-hmm.
charging for the MBA, and say, this is how much we'll reimburse you, and you could take the rest and go to DePaul if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put that in here if you're more comfortable. I have no problem saying it. It must be some of those stipulations I have already dictated. It must be a public institution. The board has the right to approve this and a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make you feel?
If I understand correctly, this is a policy that anybody's going to be able to see, right?
Yes.
Employees
yeah.
will
mm-hmm.
see this. And,
yep.
So while I certainly appreciate the desire to have management flexibility, I can also understand from the employee's perspective some desire to sort of know what the rules of the road
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm. So I can put definitely, I don't want to put a dollar amount in because obviously then you have to come back whenever this. So
right.
we can put in, so some of the parameters will be public university, right?
Public institution.
Institution?
Yeah.
Right.
In-state.
That must be submitted before the budget,
mm-hmm.
in-state.
Mm-hmm.
And before budget, and approved by the director, executive director.
Yeah.
By and ED and board through budget approval.
Yeah. And you're comfortable with the discretion and not having issues with employees saying, hey, you know, Joe got this, but I'm not getting this.
Well, they can apply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're fine with
mm-hmm.
that. And I'm hearing that you're not, there's not a giant line of people out your door.
No. I mean, I think like last year we paid for, like, say, for example, Liz Stoic to take an accounting class.
Yes.
That's a prime example. She had a new job. She wanted to fulfill yourself. And so if she wanted to take two, I would have said, yeah, you can take two.
Right.
You know,
right.
We have had people approach us and haven't taken any classes yet about going for their master's about that.
Oh, okay.
And for master's, a little bit different. We probably would put in there a clause about if you have to stay with the participant for so long. If you leave, then you have to reimburse us type thing.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
And you'd also be clear that, say, if somebody wanted to go to a school like DePaul or something like that, that there'd be a basic level that would be comparable to the public.
So we'll say, you know, if
they can pay that other increment themselves.
To pay difference, yeah. We would pay up to the
that's
public.
That's what the Vollings did, for instance, for their MBAs. They're both park directors that we know.
I know a lot of directors have been flat out paid for have paid for everything. They probably got their master's before they became EDs. I know they did.
Yes.
So that's right. Or department heads, in fact. Choose pay difference if you want to go to a state public. Okay, private.
Mm-hmm. What makes me a little uncomfortable, again, like I said, I love, as a manager, I love the flexibility of this right under education. It says at the discretion of the park district, you may be given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But does that open us up for, like, a potential claim of discrimination
why we have that line is if we don't have the money to do it. So, for example, somebody comes and we have 10 people going for higher learning, I guess, we say we just have too many going. And that's where discretion is. It's for budgetary reasons.
Right. It might make some sense to run it by Rob.
There is some appropriate language in there pertinent to what your thought processes are. And it says the amount an employee receives will depend on the park district's pre-approval, their employee grade or status, and budgetary limitations. So the park district can look at the larger picture of the person's employment, where they might be going, our financial picture at the time. I think this has been relatively well thought out to this point. Do you think there's some gap in...
I think that language is fine, and that I agree with that spirit. And maybe this is just a matter more of implementation than what we write down here. But for instance, if we looked back at it over the last 5 years and said, oh my gosh, every person who's taken advantage of this was a man, and every person we denied it to was a woman. Yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned.
Well, then you should fire me. Because obviously that's it.
But I understand what you're saying.
But I understand what you're saying.
You're exposing yourself.
You're exposing ourselves. I totally understand. I see what you're saying about that, but I don't think we can say that everybody can go, because what if we can't afford it?
Right. No,
so you can't put that in the policy either.
Right.
So what I would do is say if all of a sudden 20 people came and they all submitted by budget time, I would actually probably pull from a hat. I mean, it's kind of like, how do you be fair?
But you also have discretion if someone approaches you with a desire to pursue some certain, you know, advanced degree.
It has nothing to do with us. If they come and say, I want to go to a culinary school, I'm going to say, well, no, that has nothing to do with our district.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for your culinary school.
I think what the board might want to consider doing at this point is to direct the executive director, the final employee that would be reviewing these, to bring them up quarterly with the board. And obviously, names of the individuals don't matter to us. But you can say, this has come before me, and I wish to approve it based on this. We have the room to do it based on the frequency you've been seeing this, or I don't support this based on this. And then you're sharing some of the responsibility and bouncing it off of us, say, quarterly. I don't think that would take that much of our time, and it would give us a chance to sort of keep our hand or finger on the pulse of how we see this going forward, and allow us to better information as to what the staff is looking to do with their education allowances.
I think it's fine if someone's coming to approach me for, like, for a master's program,
yeah,
or for a bachelor's program, or even for that matter, associate's.
But the regular
program.
Classes.
But if they're coming, I want to take accounting class, or an Excel class.
No.
But if they come
to
say, it is my desire to keep on asking for this every year, would it be long term master's program or bachelor's. I think that's totally something we should.
No, if an employee decides to teach a class, like if Chris wants to teach a class in MBD, Masters of Building Dirt, do we get some of that salary based on him having
I think we should.
Yeah.
Because he's learned so much about dirt here. Okay. All right. So if anybody has
I'm just getting the bowl, thank you.
I'm going to have Bush check over this just to make sure. This policy, if that's okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. And see if he say and give your concerns. I want to make
sure
that's
concerned, I'm not concerned.
Okay. I'll do that, and we'll go through. And then if there's, I'll add those other things to it, and we'll go from there. So I'll make those changes and get that approved before June, and I'll advance it. All right. Next is our environmental policy. Again, we've been doing this for a long time, and now we just put it in writing. I put on your at your seats a new one because I had a couple calls on it, so I added some changes in red ink, the one by your desk.
The ones in red are
just new changes from the from what it's just so there's two areas. So it is the first line that says I don't even have a copy. I gave you my copy. Oh no, I didn't. Here it is. Someone brought up about, I think it was Dudley, about what about our water testing? What about our air testing? What about our lead, beach testing, water testing, radon? Those are all laws that we have to comply to. I don't want to put every single law because it would be 20 pages long.
And then if you miss one.
So I just said file all state and federal laws regarding testing and disposal.
Yeah.
So that we have all those things covered under that, and that we'll continue to do those best practices that we're legally required to do. And then on page 3, we added, just so you all know, we're already implemented the, we're no longer using plastic straws at the beach. We went to paper. So we just made that, we figured little things make a big difference. And so we just decided that last month and bought the first supply for our contractor so that we could go to that. And they worked well this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.